again. This is the old Good Morning Man. Kermit Edney with program 153 in a series of 260 chapters dealing with the happenings and the people who made things happen in Henderson County over the past 50 years, the WHKP years since 1946. It follows the same format as the great series by Mr. Frank Fitzsimmons, so we call it simply Where Fitz Left Off. And today, we'll remember the last man ever to be declared an outlaw in North Carolina, one Edward Thompson, Jr., who had rented a room in a rooming house on Harris Street in Hendersonville. Very few people are aware of the fact that in North Carolina, in 1968, a Superior Court judge could simply declare you an outlaw, and if so proclaimed, the individual must surrender to anybody. And if the person refuses, resists, or flees, may be, quote, slain with impunity. Now, this guy we're talking about, Edward Thompson, was from Reidsville. He was 36 years old, had a long history of convictions for a variety of crimes. He found his way to Hendersonville. The first criminal acts he committed here occurred May 9th, 1968. And then was followed by other criminal activity in Rutherford, Iredell, Rockingham counties in North Carolina, Roanoke County in Virginia. Thompson had eluded widespread manhunts, raping, robbing, and ravaging across the state. On Monday, June 24, 1968, I was privy to a discussion among local lawmen headed by Chief Police William V. Powers, at which time it was decided to ask that Edward Thompson be declared an outlaw. On June 25, 1968, acting on an affidavit signed by Captain Du Bois Edmondson, Sheriff James Kilpatrick, and General County Court Solicitor M.F. Toms, Superior Court Judge W.K. Willie McLean signed a proclamation which specified that any citizen may call on Thompson to surrender himself, and if Thompson refuses, resists, or attempts to flee, the citizen may slay him with impunity. Chief Powers immediately circulated this proclamation along with Thompson's picture to police authorities across the state. Judge McLean signed the outlaw proclamation on June 25th, less than a month later, July 16th. Thompson was under heavy security in the Buncombe County Courthouse. He had been spotted near the Virginia border on U.S. 22 by a Virginia State Police patrol plane. Thompson had been earlier that day at the home of his brother near Eden, North Carolina, and had threatened his sister-in-law with a gun. North Carolina State Patrol officers and local police established a massive roadblock at the U.S. 220 intersection at Eden, and when Thompson's car attempted to turn, he was quickly and totally surrounded by vehicles. One police officer jerked open the door to the car Thompson was driving, stuck his revolver to the back of Thompson's head. It's not reported what the officer said, but maybe it's something like, "Okay, buddy, I hope you make a move, because then I can slay you with impunity." Well, he probably used even stronger language. But one thing was certain. Thompson did not move, and he was escorted in a three-car police convoy back to Western North Carolina, where he was placed under heavy security in the Buncombe County Jail. And I might add, the security was as much for Thompson's protection as it was to secure him. The public would love for him to have received the treatment given to Bonnie and Clyde. You remember that shoot-'em-up scene in the movie. Prior to coming to Hendersonville around the 1st of May, 68, Edward Thompson had served time for first-degree burglary, breaking and entering, felonious assault, assault on a female, and he had just been warming up for one of the worst outbursts of criminality in the history of North Carolina. On May 9th, when Dr. and Mrs. William Alexander returned to their home, Thompson had broken into the house, was hiding and waiting for them. He forced them back into their car, used drugs from Dr. Alexander's medical bag to immobilize them, dumped them off at Valley Clinic at Bat Cave, then, after robbing them, left the car at the Old Joy Drive-In Theater. Later, Thompson kidnapped Michael Gary Beddingfield and his girlfriend of Tuxedo, locked the young man in the trunk, raped the young girl, made Beddingfield drive him on I-40 into Burke County, where the young man, now aware of just how dangerous a character this Thompson was, intentionally wrecked his car at a rest stop at I-Card amidst truckers, hoping that the truckers would give him help. Thompson was injured, but he used his rifle as a crutch and walked away. 4 days later, Thompson struck again, abducting a young Mooresville couple in Iredell County, where again he stuffed the young male into the trunk and raped the girl. He was next spotted in Rockingham County, where he had abducted four women and a man and had forced them to drive them in their car to a cement blockhouse near Roanoke, where he bound and gagged the man and the woman and then shot both of them to death at close range. but he still had the three teenagers as hostages in his car when he was captured July 16th. Although there were warrants in a number of counties in North Carolina and charges in Virginia, it was agreed he would be tried in Henderson County. And considering the notoriety of Thompson and his nationally publicized crime spree, Superior Court Judge Harry Martin immediately appointed Henderson County's leading defense attorney, Monroe Redden, to defend Thompson. Thompson was sentenced to three life terms plus 20 years. And a federal judge later ruled that North Carolina's outlaw statute, GS-15-48, was constitutionally inadequate and procedurally deficient. But it has never been appealed. And the state legislature has had numerous opportunities to change or repeal the law, and it is still on the books, though it's not been used since Edward Thompson, Jr. Now, the memory of this seventh child of a seventh child lucky enough to have been life. Sursum corda as we approach the next 50 years.